Chapter 11 of the book of Job. You guys ever get any counsel that was cruel or that was maybe true, but it wasn't exactly aimed in the right direction? It wasn't scratching where you were itching. Okay, that's what this is about, okay? One, our buddy Zophar, he's the worst Zophar, okay? We're in round one of all Job's friends. This is guy number three, and he's cruel. He's just cruel. And I think they all are. They were best when they didn't say anything, okay? And by the way, when you don't have anything to say, large hint, say nothing. When people are crying, you can help them cry. They need a hug. They don't always need counsel, okay? We feel like we have to say something. I don't know why. Listen, I do this. Maybe I get it all out of my system. I do very little. Believe me when I say this. I do very little of, hey, you know what you need? You know what you should do? When I'm with you in another situation, I'm not on this platform with a Bible open. I do very, very little of that. You know what you need in your life? I'm not that guy. I don't give unsolicited counsel, unsolicited advice. Why? People don't like it. Men especially don't like it, okay? Your wife doesn't generally like it, okay? You know what you need, honey? Yeah, a new husband. I mean, I don't need you preaching at me all the time. So, when people ask, I will tell them what the Bible says. Oh, you don't want to do what the Bible says? Well, good luck to you. I mean, I like to do what the Bible says. My life goes better, okay? Now, if you give counsel, make sure it's on the Word of God. Two, the guy's just cruel. And the other problem is, you know, all of Job's counsels, they say a lot of things that are true-ish. They're true, but they're not, as we'll see, what you're saying is so. Nobody's arguing that. It's just not the issue here. You say, well, it's in the Bible. Yeah, it's the Bible's recording of knuckleheads with their knucklehead advice. That's an accurate account of that. So don't look at what, you know, Bildad says and Zophar says as thus saith the Lord, Eliphaz, this is the word of God. It's not, okay? I mean, it's accurately recorded. Now, then answered Zophar the Naamathite and said, should not the multitude of words be answered? Should a man full of talk be justified? Should thy lies, is Job lied so far? Can you show me that verse? Because I didn't see it. Now, Job has perception. He perceives like, man, what did I do? I was sacrificing. I was loving the Lord. I was trying. God said, remember what God said, and Job had no reason to know this. God said to Satan, hey, check out Job. He's a righteous man. Nobody like him. God said that. That was God's assessment of Job. He's not saying he is sinless. No more than he's saying you and I are sinless. Job's justification was like our justification by sacrifice. His blood sacrifice. That was common of the time. Ours, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Because you understand that. We talk about that from time to time. Don't go out and kill a sheep unless you're going to barbecue, and you better be inviting me. Okay, we don't do that to sacrifice for our sins. We don't do that like that anymore. Job didn't have the cross. He didn't have Calvary. This was his. He was stepping out in faith. It was the difference between Cain and Abel, by the way. You do know that, right? Cain wasn't a horrible human being that you'd notice when he was sacrificing to God, the true God, but he was sacrificing his own way. Yeah, I know God requires blood sacrifice, but he's religious. I'm going to do it my way. Not a good idea, by the way. Okay, should thy but I'm getting off the topic. Should thy lies make men hold their peace? And when thou mockest, when did he mock? He didn't lie, he didn't mock. Zophar, old buddy, you're swinging a miss twice now. Shall no man make thee ashamed? In other words, we should put you in your place for all your lies, for your mocking attitude. He's not mocking. I mean, the boy's really, listen, he lost 10 children in a day. Is that your parent? Yeah, you don't have to be a parent. That would make you wince a little bit. That would leave a mark on your soul, wouldn't it? I got two. I don't lose either one of them. That would hurt. All 10, one day? Oh, you're mocking. excuse me, I'm really in a lot of pain right here. Job should say, you know, back off, guys. You ain't helping me at all. I just get up and leave them boys. But then, of course, we wouldn't have a book then. For thou hast said, my doctrine is pure and I'm clean in thine eyes. He didn't say that. He didn't say my doctrine is pure ever. And he didn't say, I am clean in thine eyes. But oh, that God would speak and open his lips against thee. This is what Zophar wants. Well, Zophar is going to get what Zophar wants. God's going to open his mouth. He's going to speak. And Zophar is going to go, and his buddies are going to walk away with the fuzzy end of the lollipop. Because at the end of the book, and I'll give away the end if you haven't read it before, God shows up and he says, well, you guys are all wet. Listen to my servant Job. He's spoken right. You guys have spoken wrong. And go take a sacrifice. Job will sacrifice and pray for you guys. So I won't kill you. Zophar is going to get his wish, but he's wrong. You know how, look at we're all right in our own eyes. Who cares? What does the Bible say? And we've got to figure out what the Bible says. And you've got to, like I said this morning, show me when I'm wrong. I was talking about the guy who was my friend, who was the amillennialist. He didn't believe in a literal millennium. And I showed him in a scripture, a very sound scripture. And he says, well, I guess that, basically, he says, I guess that crushes my argument. Oh, so you'll change? No. I'd rather be wrong and in the good old boys network that I hang out with. And I'm never gonna be that way. See, I didn't change all my doctrines to become Calvary Chapel pastor. They were in the direction I was going anyway, okay? You know, it's like, well, I'm not really groovy with the Holy Spirit, but since they are, okay, I'll change it. No. It didn't work out that way. I wasn't really a Trinitarian, but they kind of are, and I want to, you know, have the franchise, so I'll become a Trinitarian. No. And I don't care about Calvary Chapel to the point where, listen, if Calvary Chapel's wrong, if something about our doctrine's not pure, please show me that. If you got the case, if you got the biblical case, I'll change. I'm wrong. I want to be right. I mean, that's so key. He's accusing him of saying, my doctrine's pure, I'm clean in my eyes, and he wants God to show up and say how right you are so far. And God's going to show up and say, no. But that he would show thee the secrets of wisdom, that they are double to that which is. Know therefore that God exacteth of thee less than thine iniquity deserveth. Now here he's saying something, this is what I mean, it's kind of true. Listen, if you have chicken pox. Now think about all the things you've done wrong in your life. Do you deserve chicken pox? Listen, you deserve hell. I deserve hell. Chicken pox are nothing. So far saying you're only getting half of what you deserve. And that's kind of true, Zophar. We all deserve hell, and he's certainly not in hell. Okay? But none of this is on a deserved basis. So it's another swing and a miss. He's saying something that's true. It's not germane. Because anyone who's suffering, anyone who's ever suffering, well, you deserve that. That's true-ish. You deserve a lot worse. You deserve hell. But God, life doesn't work that way. When somebody has cancer, it's not because they deserve it. Any more than you don't have cancer and you deserve not to. Look at, there's still people around who have these same doctrines. The name it, claim it crowd. Some natural disaster. Hurricane Katrina blows through town or something like this. And we're like, you know, the health and wealth guys. You know, oh, well, we're praying for you. Hang on, Louisiana. We're praying that, you know, if you lost a house, God will give you a better house. And if you lost a car, God will give you a better car. What if you lost children? God's going to give you better children. But there's still that's the same name it, claim it crowd, the same thing. Like, you know, and of course, if you don't have a better car or a better house or you lost, you know, it's your lack of faith. And so you're basically getting what you deserve. None of that is, and by the way, if you're that kind of counselor, do me a favor, shut up or don't tell anyone that you have any connection with Calvary Chapel. I know you know better than this. Okay, I know you know better than this. But you know what's happening to you? Bad stuff, but it's less than thine iniquity deserveth. Wow. Wait a second. Let me get this straight. My 10 kids just died, and I'm getting less than I deserve? Okay. You know what? That's the problem, isn't it? We know God's good. We know that he loves us. And when bad things happen, it makes us scratch our heads because, like, well, God, I know you're good and I know you love me. And both of those things are true. Then why the suffering? Because I'm God and you're not, and you'll never understand, not this side of the veil. Do bad things happen to good people? There are those who tell us there are no good people. I would be one of them. but sometimes, you know, two people living side by side, two couples, they both have a kid. One dies, one doesn't. Why? It wasn't the believer or the unbeliever. They're both unbelievers. One dies, one doesn't. Or they're both believers. One dies, one doesn't. It's just, there's no rhyme or reason to it. You know what I mean? Let's keep moving, though, because I'm going to really get bogged out. Canst thou by searching find out God? No, you can't. It's a good point, Zophar. We don't discover God. He reveals himself to us. How does he do that? The book. How else? Now we're on thin ice. He shows us somewhat of himself by creation. What does he show us? That he's a creator. And the beauty of creation shows us that he's into aesthetics. I mean, there's some things we can find out. Don't go too far down this road. You know what I mean? Because you're going to... This is a solid rock. You know, build your doctrines here, okay? Other than that, there's only a few other places you can go. Like I say, creation, things like that. And there is no really things like that. Canst thou by searching out find out God? Not really you can. He reveals himself to us. Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection, or to the nth degree is the idea. It's as high as heaven. What can you do? Deeper than hell. What can you know? Those are true. I don't know how it affects me. It doesn't bring my kids back, thanks. But I mean, you know, God's more than you can understand. We know that. We know that. And again, by the way, when somebody's suffering, they get the bad report from the doctor. Well, God's ways are past finding out. That's what he's saying. God moves in mysterious ways. Hey, shut up, will you? Just stop. Yeah, it's true, but that's not helpful, you know? Or this one. This is a good one. You know, all things work to good, all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, who are the called according to his purpose, for whom he did foreknow. He did predestinate to come under the image of his son. That's true. True, it's in the Bible, absolutely true. Yeah, but I was married to them for like 47 years. Can you mind if I cry a little bit? You know what I mean? They're not looking for an answer. They're looking for a hug. So factor all these things in when you're giving your counsel. We understand, Zophar, that God's higher than heaven, deeper than hell. You can't know. I understand. The measure thereof is longer than the earth and broader than the sea. If he cut off and shut up or gather together, then who can hinder him? For he knoweth vain men. Large hint here, Job. He seeth wickedness also. Will he not then consider it? What he's saying is, you're wicked. That's all. Oh, we think you're a good guy, but obviously God knows better, and that's why you're getting all the stuff you're getting. Now, we were treated to Job chapter 1 and Job chapter 2. Zophar wasn't, neither was Job. For vain men would be wise, though man be born like a wild ass's colt. If thou prepare thine heart and stretch out thine hands toward him, if iniquity be in thine hand, put it far away, and let not wickedness dwell in thy tabernacles. For then shalt thou lift up thy face without spot. Yea, thou shalt be steadfast and shalt not fear. Verse 14, if iniquity be found in thine hand, and it is, basically is what he's saying, put it far away. He's calling him to repent. Listen, sometimes that's the answer, isn't it? My wife dumped me. Why? Because she found out about my mistress. You should put that far away. I understand that. And calling people to repent is always a good idea when there's sin involved. And guess what? There's always sin involved. I don't know. I make a profession out of repenting. I do it all the time. I was saying, I went to East Coast Baptist Club. I didn't think anything was particularly broken. God diagnosed me anyway and kind of called me to repent about a certain thing. It wasn't even sin. It was just, this is what I... I didn't even thought that all the way through. You're operating like the Spirit of God doesn't matter, like your own wit and wisdom, and that I guess that would be sin. I mean, I know I wasn't doing anything deliberately sinful. I wasn't taking any steps away from God. I didn't love him less. I didn't ever cross over a line and said, I know God, but I'm not going to do it your way. I'm going to do it my way. I never, it wasn't rebellion. And he put his hand on the problem and said, this is what I want from you. I said, oh. And I came to repentance. Repentance is great. I was wrong. I turned around. Now I'm right. And you need that all the time because we have a proclivity towards sin. You do know that, right? You feel the tug. I know this, that we need to maintain on a daily basis. We need to do the things that feed our spirit, that make us closer to God. Living in this world, just doing life, drags us away. Not sinful stuff, the laundry, the job, the commute. Boy, I could work up some fleshly, when traffic and people don't know how to drive, and I got to give them a driving lessons, and using the horn and way, get out of my way. The pedal's the one out, gas is on the right there, you clown. You know, I can really break out in the flesh. What am I doing? I'm just driving. You know, it's not like you have to be, you know, doing something, you know, hanging out at a bar or anything. I'm hanging out on the road. I'm going to work. Work is godly. You see, but the world, the proclivities that take you down, take you away from God. The natural's away from God. I gotta be in His Word. I gotta be in prayer. I gotta spend time with Him, time with other Christians. Do the things He's called me to do. If iniquity be in thine hand, and it is, of course, put it far away, verse 14, and let not wickedness dwell in thy tabernacles. For then shalt thou lift up thy face without spot, yea, thou shalt be steadfast and shalt not fear, because thou shalt forget thy misery and remember it as waters that pass away. And thine age shall be clearer than the noonday, thou shalt shine forth, thou shalt be as the morning. See, all you need to do is repent and all this stuff's going to go away, Job. I don't know how many swing and misses we had. He struck out. He's out for good. He's all done. I lost count. And thou shalt be secure because there is hope. Yea, thou shalt dig about thee, and thou shalt take thy rest in safety. Also thou shalt lie down. None shall make thee afraid. Yea, many shall make suit unto thee. But the eyes of the wicked shall fail, and they shall not escape. And the hope shall be as the giving up of the ghost. Again, he's not talking about the wicked shall fail. He's talking about you, wicked Job, in a kind of softening a little bit. Well, this is what happens to the wicked, basically, he's saying. They're going to fail. So all these things he's saying, he's not talking about in a theoretical sense. He's saying, this is your problem, jump. You know, don't be so wicked. Don't be such a liar. Don't be so right in your own eyes. Don't be such a... And if you just repent, everything's going to get better. Okay, Job answers. And Job answered and said, no doubt, but ye are the people, and wisdom shall die with you. Is this sarcastic? Listen, this is dripping with sarcasm. I could give sarcasm lessons. I'm a very, very sarcastic person. I think in terms of sarcasm all the time. I don't always talk that way. I think it's wrong. It's what's wrong in my life, okay? It doesn't... Even if I say something that's correct with sarcasm, it doesn't seem to further God's plan, okay? Because people are like, sarcasm doesn't, you know what I mean? I do it very, very well, and I try not to do it at all. Every great once in a while, somebody says, I say something, and they're like shocked, and I'm thinking like, well, it's good that they're shocked anyway. It's just not, they're not like, oh, Adam being Adam all the time. But I have a propensity to be, and Susan will tell you, I can... The whole Casper's X, we've made it an art form. It's like we don't even talk, but it's sarcastic, okay? This is like, look at what he's saying. No doubt you're the people, and wisdom shall die with you. When you guys die, Zophar, you know, I hate to see you go when you die because wisdom's going to come to an end when you die. That's what he's saying, okay? Is that sarcastic? That's sarcastic, okay? I think Zophar is kind of asking for it. He's drawn it out of him. I don't think Job's like this normally, but how much of this diatribe can you listen to? How much times you're suffering, right? You're really suffering. You've suffered like nobody suffered, and people are just like, well, you know, if you weren't such a sinner, if you'd repent, you weren't such a... really? Can you point my sin out to me? Because I've been really careful about, you know, I do something wrong. I mean, this is the guy who's, he's making sacrifice on behalf of his children. They're over in the, you know, oldest son's house feasting. He's saying, you know, perhaps one of them cursed God in his heart. I've been offered a sacrifice just for them. This is a righteous man, okay? Maybe a little legalistic, okay, but righteous. He's concerned with God. He fears God. He loves the Lord in the best way he knows how. He's not like, you know, he says like in one place, I've made a covenant with my eyes that I should not look upon a maid. He's not, I'm not Mr. Lust guy, lascivious old, woohoo, check her out. He said, I don't do like that. Now, most guys don't even consider that even nominally wrong. It's okay just to look as long as you don't touch. You know, it doesn't matter where you get your appetite as long as you eat at home. You know, I hear guys say it all the time. What do you think? I invented these sayings? People say this all the time. People don't even think it's wrong at all. Job said, I'm not like that. I'm really concerned about doing right. I really want to please the Lord. You know what I mean? So if he's like this, it's because he's been getting, how much of this can you take? I'm trying to do right. I know my heart. I know that I want to do. You know, when people accuse me, like, you can accuse me of a lot of stuff, and about 99 times out of 100, you'd be wrong. Don't accuse me of being a hypocrite. I try to live the way I'm saying I'm supposed to live. I try. I mean, I really, really do. And then, of course, like, you know, okay, you know, you can find inconsistencies in my life. Who can't? And the better you know me, the easier they are to find. There's no doubt about any of that. But don't say I'm just like, oh, yeah, you're, you know what? You're in it for the money. Don't! Sue's laughing even. Yeah, but I hear stuff like that, you know what I mean? Like, oh yeah, the millions and millions and millions of dollars that I'm receiving, and or the tens of thousands, or the, listen, it's not about the money. But people accuse me, and how much of that stuff can you take? And the right answer is, oh, okay, God, You know my heart. Let them just flap their gums. You could do that for a while, but after a while, you're going to be like Job. Oh, listen, you people, you are the people, and wisdom's going to die with you. No question about it. I understand what he's saying here, and we can give him a pass. I mean, like, he's had a tough go of it, and he hasn't. These people are not like, you know, holding his hand and cuddling him and tell him, poor Job, old buddy. That, no. Nothing like that. But I have understanding as well as you. I am not inferior to you. Yea, who knoweth not such things as these? I understand all that, Zophar. We understand it, okay? I get all that. I am as one mocked of his neighbor who calleth upon God, and he answereth him. The just upright man is laughed to scorn. This is how he sees himself. He that is ready to slip with his feet is as a lamp despised, and the thought of him that is eased is at ease. He that is ready to slip with his feet, he's talking about death. You know, I got one foot in the grave and the other on a banana peel. He thinks he's going to die, okay? And all you guys can do is mock and laugh and ridicule and scorn. He that is ready to slip with his feet is as a lamp despised, in the thought of him that is at ease. Okay, because it hasn't happened to you is basically what he's saying. The tabernacles of robbers prosper, and they that provoke God are secure, into whose hand God bringeth abundantly. Now, we know that. The tabernacles, the houses of robbers, well, they prosper. Hey, drug dealers live really good lives. Wealth-wise, I'm not talking morality-wise. I'm not talking about we shouldn't be like them. You're struggling, trying to make ends meet, right? You get two nickels ahead, your muffler falls off. Hey, I know what that's all about, right? And the guy down there, he's selling dope to school children, and he's making millions. He's got a nice house, a nice, sweet automobile, and he's doing fine. Job sees it. He says, just because, you know, bad stuff isn't happening to them doesn't mean that they're good people. Listen, again, we've seen this. Righteous people, I mean, righteous, who made righteous in the blood of the Lamb, sometimes suffer. Is that not true? Unrighteous people sometimes waltz, and they get, like, severely. It would look like blessing if we knew that, but we know better. We know it doesn't come from God. But they're doing fine. I can lie and cheat and steal. I can have a mistress. I can run for Congress and be elected and get reelected. You know what I'm saying? It's not just like, I kind of wish it was that way. You know, every time you thought a bad thought, you get a little electric shock, you know. You should wear one of those, like, dog collars with the, you know, and get, the, you know, he can zap your dog when he goes out in the street or something. Like, we should wear, God should have one of them on all of us, you know. We'll just go around thinking bad thoughts, like, you know, I'm in traffic, you know, like, get out of my way, you know. You learn how to drive, oh, you know, just like, oh, okay, no, I'll praise the Lord, and say, I'll be right, complying all the time, but it doesn't work that way. Then everyone will be okay, right? But it doesn't work. It doesn't go that way. And sometimes, look at the tabernacles of robbers prosper, and they that provoke God are secure, into whose hand God bringeth abundantly. They got plenty of stuff, and they're unrighteous. That's Job's contention. Is Job right? Yeah. Zophar says, you know, the whole problem is, you know, God knows how to bless the righteous, Job, old buddy. The reason you lost all your stuff and all your kids, guess what? You're a bad guy after all. You're a hypocrite. You're a liar. What are you talking about? This is the heart of the whole thing. But ask now the beasts, and they shall teach thee. Hey, even donkeys, even animals know this. Again, some sarcasm. But ask now the beasts, and they shall teach thee. And the fowls of the air, and they shall tell thee, or speak to the earth, and it shall teach thee, and the fishes of the sea shall declare it unto thee. Fishes are pretty bright. Well, they hang around in schools. I mean, you know, you got to think of that. So, who knoweth not in all these that the hand of the Lord hath wrought this? In whose hand is the soul of every living thing, and the breath of all mankind? Doth not the ear try words, and the mouth taste his meat? With the ancient is wisdom, and in length of days understanding. I don't know why he's saying this, because they're all older than him. They're as old as his father. We find out in other passages, and some of them we've already found out. They speak in order of their age. And even Zophar is as old as Job's dad. So first one speaks to Eliphaz. This guy's an old guy. So here he's saying, with the ancient is wisdom, and in length of days, understanding. Is this sarcasm? I almost think so. Do you remember in King Lear, if any of you read it, he's got this fool, you know, a jester, who is a constant thorn in his side, and he gets away with murder. King Lear really likes his jester, because he says some stuff like, he says, you know, if you were my fool, I'd have thee beaten. He says to King Lear, and he goes, oh, fool, why is that? He goes, because you got old before you got wise. And that's like, you don't say that to the king. Well, the fool gets away with it, and he doesn't tar and feather him or kill him or anything like that. I'm almost thinking, you know, Shakespeare, by the way, who allegedly was one of the scholars who translated the 1611 King James Bible into English. I mean, you know, did the King James work? He's one of those who allegedly did that, and he might have. He lived at that time, and he had the mind to. You know, with things like that, you know, you sometimes you see in his plays and stuff like that, some King Jamesisms come out, you know, because they spoke the same language, I mean, of the era. But, I mean, it's almost like, you know, as he was, if he was involved in you know, the translation work, he learned some lessons, you know, along the way. Because I think this is what he said, is what's being said here, and I think it comes out in King Lear. But I could be wrong, okay? And I'll tell you why. Because in King Lear, he doesn't have any notes, author's notes. Yeah, I get this from Job chapter 11 or nothing like that. So you take your guess. I don't know. With the ancient is wisdom and length of days understanding. Oh, you'd think. You'd think. Hopefully, when you've lived a long life, you've prospered. I can't come up with the word. You've sifted through a lot of stuff. You've seen, you've learned, you've gleaned some information. A lot of this stuff, you know, I see the kids just saying dumb and acting dumb. They're kids. They'll learn. They'll figure it out. And I don't say much, because, you know, they got to go through the same stuff we went through, and they will. But it's sad when you see somebody up like, you know, what my big contention is? What's my big hot button issue? The one big problem facing America? Boys that shave. Son, you're old enough to be a man. Act like a man. Stop acting like a little boy. They just break everything. They break hearts. They break lives. They ruin everything. Our jails are full of them. You know, when you reach a certain age, you're supposed to have a certain amount of wisdom. And we're still acting like little children. We're not 50s and we're, you know, chasing women around and we haven't even thought about starting, you know, settling down and starting a family. Something. What's that? What's up with that? That's so, you know, that's not even cute when you're in college doing that. And at 50, it's just ridiculous. It's not cute. It's just, you know, grab a clue. But we just, we're staying in our childhood forever, you know? We're 32. We're living with 14 guys in the same apartment. I sleep in the there's a little room by the cupboard here under the shelf. I can just, you know, put my cot here and stuff. Why? Because they pay $14 a month, you know, and you know, that's my share and stuff like this. And I get to, you know, sleep till noon and wake up and play Wizard of Warcraft and. How about a job? How about growing up? How about taking some responsibility? How about acting like, you know, life doesn't, is passing you by? So I see, you know, I remember back in the day, when I first got in the electrical trade, I was 25 years old. I remember some of my contemporaries, and I was happily married. I had two kids by that time when I was 25 years old. And I had a lot of 25-year-olds. They weren't even thinking about it, not even on the radar, no way. And now here I am, 53. I got grandkids. I know some of them, and they haven't been married yet at all, once yet, at all. And I'm thinking, like, that's kind of sad, but, man, whatever. And he's saying, like, no, you know, the ancient is wisdom and length of days understanding. Hopefully that's true. With him is wisdom and strength. He hath counsel and understanding. Behold, he breaketh down and cannot be built up again. He shutteth up a man, and there can be no opening. Behold, he withholdeth the waters, and they dry up. Also, he sendeth them out, and they overturn the earth. With him is strength and wisdom. The deceived and the deceiver are his. That's interesting. But they're both gods, and God can do what he wants with either one. The deceived and the deceiver. The good guy and the bad guy. You know, he makes it rain, he shuts up, he opens up, he tears down, he builds up. What are you going to do? Tell him, don't do that? He's God. He leadeth counselors away spoiled and maketh the judges fools. Well, you saw American Idol, didn't you? No, I'm sorry. I go there sometimes. I don't know. He looseth the bonds of kings and girdeth their loins with a girdle. He leadeth princes away, spoil, and overthroweth the mighty. He removeth away the speech of the trusty and taketh away the understanding of the aged. He poureth contempt upon princes and weakeneth the strength of the mighty. Job's contention is, hey, God's God. He does what he wants. He does what he pleases. Sometimes it doesn't look like it's the way that we think it ought to all end up. You know, we're talking about the kingdom this morning. I like that because things do end up the way we... You know, right now, the righteous don't always win. Sometimes the righteous come with the fuzzy end of the lollipop. And sometimes the unrighteous win the day. Right? For now. It's not always going to be that way, but it is in Job's day. He says, hey, guys steal, and their house is full of stuff. He discovereth deep things out of darkness and bringeth out to light the shadow of death. He increaseth the nations and destroyeth them. He enlargeth the nations and straighteneth them again. He taketh away the heart of the chief of the people of the earth and causeth them to wander in wilderness where there is no way. Is he prophetic there? They grope in the dark without light, and he maketh them to stagger like a drunken man. Let's keep going. Let's see if we can get chapter 13 too. Lo, mine eyes have seen all this. Mine ear hath heard and understood it. What ye know, the same do I know also. I am not inferior unto you. I know all this stuff you guys are trying to tell me. By the way, I was telling you about how God spoke to my heart, and I was thinking about that. That wasn't anything new. You ever heard that doctrine before? That wasn't anything new. I could teach that. You could teach that, right? Just because you know it doesn't mean you don't have to hear it. You know? I want the same old lessons from Scripture. There's no new doctrine in there that I... Oh, Trinitarian. I didn't know that. You know what I mean? There's no new in that sense. So I'm all done. I don't have to read the Bible anymore. Whew, good. That's going to be a time saver right there. I don't have to study the Word anymore. That'd be good. Whew. Now, you got to keep knowing this stuff. And just because you know it yesterday doesn't mean you know it today. You know, there's a dailiness to this. It's like the manna that they collected every day, right? There was an everydayness to it. I don't think I'm telling you people things. Oh, I never heard of that before. I never understood that. That's not how it's supposed to go. I mean, every once in a while you come, oh, I didn't ever look at it that way. Okay, I get that. Yeah, I've been around a long time, learned a few things. But I mean, this is the stuff. We all know this stuff. So what do? Well, we're going to keep knowing it. We're going to re-know. Listen, once we get through the book, you know what we're going to do? We're going to start all over again. Just in case you're wondering, I finish Revelation in a couple of weeks and I retire. No, we'll just go to the next book. It'll be Genesis. It'll be wonderful. Actually, it won't be on Sunday morning, but say, what are you teaching next? Huh, it's a good question, isn't it? Let's keep moving. What ye know, the same do I know also. I'm not inferior unto you. Surely I would speak to the Almighty, and I would desire to reason with God. I'd like to have an audience with God. It's a courtroom term. He's saying, I'd like to have my day in court. But ye are forgers of lies. Ye are all physicians of no value. Is this an insult? Oh, yeah. You're a doctor. You don't produce any good results. Hey, thanks, doctor. I'm still sick. Thanks. Basically is what he's saying here. You are forgers of lies. You are all physicians of no value. Oh, that ye would altogether hold your peace, and it should be your wisdom. Better to be silent, be thought of a fool, than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. He says it just a little bit different. You know, it was good when you shut up. They showed up and they sat with him in the ash heap for 7 days. Good friends. Elderly men. They got together. How long did it take them to get to Job? I don't know. I don't know if you can take a week out of your schedule to sit with a friend and just be with them. They're good. They started out really good. They were helpful then. They're actually a benefit to have around. They were a blessing to Job when they shut up. But now the diatribe comes. Now they're trying to put their finger on what's going on. They had no idea. Again, they never read Job chapter 1, Job chapter 2. But they're cruel. And I think that's the part that's kind of really gets me, just gets my goat. Oh, that you would altogether hold your peace. Just shut up, he's saying. Hold your peace. It's a polite King James way of saying, just shut up. That would be wisdom for you. Hear now my reasoning and hearken to the pleadings of my lips. Will ye speak wickedly for God and talk deceitfully for him? By the way, we're talking Wednesday night, right? What was the topic? Ambassador sermons, you remember? You're representing. I always want to represent well. I want to, we learned at the conference this week, something I knew. When you don't really know and you wonder if God in this, what should I do in this situation? What about... Err on the side of grace. I won't do that. I won't do that all the time. I don't want to err at all, by the way. But sometimes you don't exactly know. I want to be the grace guy. I want to be gracious. I want to represent a God who's gracious. You know, we think a lot about that around here. We don't take up a collection. Why? We don't beg you for money. Why? We're trying to represent. We're trying to represent well. Well, God ain't broke. God's here. Don't worry about it. We have money. He'll bless. Now, sometimes we have to challenge people about giving because the word says that. And when those verses come up, we'll talk about that. But I'm not trying to misrepresent God. Oh, you need to give. We got to have triple tithe Sunday. And if you don't give, I become a beggar and I'm representing God as a beggar. I want to misrepresent God. This is serious business. Moses smote the rock. God said, speak to the rock. Now, the first time, Moses smote the rock. God told him to smite the rock. It'll open up and water will come out. Now they're thirsty later on. This is years later or a different time. And God says, go speak to the rock. And the water will come out. And so Moses, must we get water out and fetch water? And he's all exercised and he's all got to, agitated. And he takes the rock and he smites it. And God says, no, Mo. You're in the penalty box. You don't get to go in the promised land and say, wow, that's severe. I know. It's severe to misrepresent God. God said, you're all bugged. You're all agitated. You're my spokesman. They're thinking I'm all bent out of shape because they want water. I'm not stressed. Give him the water. What's your problem, Moses? He misrepresented. Now, if you were with that group in the wilderness 40 years, maybe you're going to have a bad hair day or two also. I understand Moses' point of view, but God's saying, no, it's what you're saying as a spokesman on behalf, it's important stuff. It's really, really important. I want to get the right answer. When people ask me questions about this and about that, I want to say, well, this is what the Bible says. I feel like it's the only place where I'm on real safe ground. What's your opinion? Oh, my opinion? It's like your opinion. It's worthless. How relative is that? It's nothing. It's less than nothing. I don't even want to talk about my opinion. This is what the Word says. Will you speak wickedly for God and talk deceitfully for him? Will ye accept his person? Will ye contend for God? Is it good that he should search you out? Or as one man mocketh another, do ye so mock him? Don't do that. Bad idea, he's saying, because verse 10, he will surely reprove you if you do so secretly except persons. The idea is show favoritism. Shall not his excellency make you afraid and his dread fall upon you? You're supposed to fear God, and this is what Job's saying. As a matter of fact, by the way, if you fear God, you won't fear anything else, and you won't play favorites because there's a God in the heavens who is no respecter of persons. By the way, you should represent him well by not playing favorites. Shall not his excellency make you afraid, and his dread fall upon you? Your remembrances are like unto ashes, your bodies to bodies of clay. Hold your peace. Let me alone, that I may speak, and let come on me what will. This is the second time he says, hold your peace. In other words, shut up. He says a few times. You ever hear somebody, be around somebody, talk, and say, oh my goodness, just take a breath. Because not only are they these counselors without wisdom, off in the wrong direction, it takes them forever to say what doesn't need to be said to begin with. How much time do you think I have? Can I listen to you drone on for 3 hours? Or just breathe or stop. I think that's what he's saying. He's just all upset. Hold your breath. Let me alone that I may speak, and let come on me what will. Wherefore do I take my flesh and my teeth and put my life in my hand? Though he slay me, yet I will trust in him. One of the best verses in the whole thing. Listen, I said it before. I'll say it again. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. I don't know what's going on. I don't understand what this is all about. I know this. I don't care if he kills me. I'm still going to trust him. Listen, make this decision long before you get in this situation. You're going to be in this situation. Come what may, I'm going to worship God. Maybe it'll be like a sickness that'll be like painful where you die like a few cells at a time. Every day you die in a little bit at a time. Maybe it'll be dire straits financially. Maybe it'll be famine, pestilence, plague, horrible stuff. I don't know. You live long enough, bad stuff's going to happen to you. And Job's, okay, I get that. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to trust God. I was talking to some friends today at lunch about a son who he married unsuccessfully, and when she filed for divorce, he prayed. But in Maine, it's no-fault divorce, so it doesn't matter what you want. If your wife wants to divorce you, you'll end up divorced. That's all there is to that. And so finally, after they divorced, you know, he prayed, and God didn't show up. So he was fed up. Oh, forget God, you know. When I needed him, there he was, gone. Thanks for nothing, God. That's the wrong answer. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Though my marriage goes sideways. Though my finances go, you know, in the dumpster. Though my health is. Make up your mind right now. I'm in it. I'm all in. There's no plan B. I don't know. You know, bad stuff's going to happen. I've got that figured out. It has in the past. It's happening today. Nothing really bad today. I mean, I'm going to go into a good season. Bad stuff will happen tomorrow. If I live long enough, somebody I love really, really exceptionally well is going to die. There's already been death in my life, like it's been in yours. What am I going to do? I'm not going to serve you anymore. You didn't. What? That's just so lame. You mean when everything's going good and you're all fat, dumb, and happy and you're all blessed and you're like, oh, yay, God, you're the best. And when you get a little runny nose or something, you get a splinter, oh, I hate you. What's that? That's, no. Though he slay me, I don't care if he kills me, yet will I trust in him. He's God, I'm not. There's stuff going on I don't understand. I'm going to let him be God. I'm going to keep putting my trust in him. I would say that's wise. I don't got nothing like that from Zophar. Zophar, give me something so I can commend you. Job, way to go, Job, my buddy. Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. But I will maintain mine old ways before him. I'm gonna stay the way I am. I'm not going to change. I didn't see there was anything wrong to begin with. He also shall be my salvation, for a hypocrite shall not come before him. He's not saying I'm perfect. He's saying I'm not a hypocrite. I'm really real. I really love God. Can you say that? Now, I'm not saying you live in a flawless life. I'm not saying that I am. I'm not. You don't even joke about that. You notice that? I don't even joke about my sinlessness or my perfection. I don't think it's funny. He's saying I'm not a hypocrite. I'll say that to you. I'm not. What you see is what you get. I'm not pretending I'm sinless, but I'm not. Just saying that. What am I trying to earn? Some sort of points or something that I can trade in for a crown? What do you think my motivation? No, what you see is me. Yeah, I'm really the real deal. I really love the Lord. I really want you all to. I want his kingdom to advance. I want people to get saved. I want problems to get straightened out. I want people's lives to get back on track when, you know, sin and wickedness derail so many people's lives. I want them to repent. I really want that to happen. I think that's all Job's saying. He says, no, I'm not sinless. I'm just authentic. What I really am is what I really am. I'm not changing that, he's saying. I will maintain my own ways before him. What ways is he maintaining? The non-hypocritical way. He shall be my salvation, for hypocrites shall not come before him. Does Jesus not like hypocrisy? Kinda. You read that when he's dealing with the Pharisees. Listen, a lady who's caught in the very act of adultery can find audience with Jesus and forgiveness. He's okay with that. Oh, hypocrisy? You whitewashed tomb? I don't like that. Makes you anything in your life, you got hypocritical. You want to straighten out immediately, right? Yeah. I understand what to do with sin. I can't, that game you're playing. Well, you act all spiritual when you're really your tomb. You're full of dead man's bones. That's how I see you. I wouldn't want him to direct that at me. And he's saying, I'm not a hypocrite. He also shall be my salvation, for hypocrites shall not come before him. Hear diligently my speech and my declaration with your ears. Behold, now I have ordered my cause. I know that I shall be justified. Is that okay to know that you're justified? It's okay with Job. It's been okay ever since. First book written in the Bible. It's been okay ever since. I talk to people sometimes. You going to heaven when you die? Oh, I hope so. Job knows he's justified. Same basis, you know, by faith in God. Not because he's a tremendously wonderful human being. Who is he that will plead with me? For now, if I hold my tongue, I shall give up the ghost. Only do not two things unto me, then I will not hide myself from thee. Withdraw thine hand far from me, and let not thy dread make me afraid. Then call thou, and I will answer, or let me speak, and answer thou me. How many are mine iniquities and sins? Make me to know my transgressions and my sin. The idea is like, you know, tell me where I've messed up. I'll fix it. I'll correct that. I'll offer sacrifice. I'll repent. I'll turn around. You know how it is? Have you done that? Because say, you know, because once you get a bad doctor's report, you know Satan's right there. Yeah, see, that's because of that. He's going to bring up something you did from when you were 12, when you sassed your aunt Jane. You know, when she was visiting you, was sassy and stuff like that. And he's going to bring that up. You know what I mean? Or whatever. I tell you, when stuff, I'm such a wuss too. When stuff goes wrong, I repent over stuff I never even did wrong. I so do. I'm just like, oh Lord, I'm sorry forever for everything. I pray. I say, Lord, point out to me what the issue is. I'm very anxious to repent, to confess, and to make that right, and to put it behind us. Not that. Here's the thing. I think Jesus died for all my sins, even the ones I haven't committed yet. But I think this about sin is like a natural separation between you and God through sin. It's not like he's saying, I'm not your father anymore. He didn't say, I disown you. It's just like when me and Suze were fighting, okay? Now, not that we ever have, but that we ever could or would. Just imagine, work with me, okay? Let's just say we're having a little spat, right? We're not married now, but we're farther apart than we should be. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? When you're fighting with somebody, there's a separation there. And we want to get rid of that. And I usually get rid of that. Flowers are involved. No, not necessarily. What happens is, like, I say, I'm sorry, and we just move on with our life. And I'm anxious to do it because the other thing too is I could, you know, I'm not going to talk to her until she says she. Okay. What if she doesn't? Then I'm going to be like this for a long time. My whole life moving sideways, and I get this slow burn going, and probably aging fast. Gray hairs are coming out, and just you know. No, let's get it out in the open. Let's forgive, let's forget, let's move on with life. I think this is all he's saying here. Lord, let me know my transgression. Tell me where I messed up. Did I misstep? Did I do something wrong? Did I miss something? Is there sin in my life? Is there unconfessed sin? Can we deal with this? Like you do, like I do. You know, we have a time where we take communion, right? What do? You think about all your stuff. I don't want there to be anything between me and you, Lord. I want to worship you, and I don't want anything standing in the way whatsoever. And it's not like, traffic. I just bring traffic. You were bad in traffic. I hate you now. It's not like that. He's not like that. But I feel unworthy. I feel like I can't approach to him. I feel like, you know, that there's a big chasm between us because of my unconfessed sin. So I just want to clear that. I want to clear the air. I want to get that behind us. Doesn't make me re-saved. It just clears the air. So those are the two things that he's looking for in verse 20. How many of my iniquities and sins, in verse 23, make me to know my transgressions and my sin? Wherefore hidest thou thy face and holdest me for thy enemy? Lord, let me in. Tell me what I need to know. Don't hold me at arm's length is the idea here. Wilt thou break a leaf driven to and fro? Wilt thou pursue the dry stubble? For thou writest bitter things against me and makest me to possess the iniquities of my youth. Isn't that just it? That's what I was just talking about. See, he's worried about Aunt Jane and sassing her when he was 12. We always think about the iniquities of our youth. Before I got saved, I did some things that were particularly sinful. I was a sinner. I don't even like to hear that. I don't like to say that. That's the truth. I mean, it is. You know, who's the guy who liked the razors so much he bought the company? Victor Kiam or something, Remington. I like to shave so much I bought the company. Listen, I love grace so much. I bought in because I needed grace. The reason I love grace so much is because it's the only gospel that works. It's the only one that changed me. Listen, the iniquity of my youth. Okay, if we had like a video going here on the televisions right now, and it was showing, I would crawl into a hole, and I would pull a hole in after me, and I would say, somebody mail the hole to China, please. Who of us wouldn't? But he said. We all think that there's going to be some like recorder out there that's going to come up sometime and we're all going to get bagged. And, you know, I lived 30 years righteous, but, you know, back when I was 12 and look at what the things I did when I was 13. And Job's feeling the same anxiety. He's saying the same thing. Yeah. Are you making me to possess the iniquity of my youth is the idea in the end of verse 26. Thou puttest, and by the way, the answer to that, what you did when you was 12, it's fine. It's not fine. I mean, it's horrible. That's why Jesus died on the cross for it. But it's taken care of. He's not going to bring it up. Your sins and your iniquities, I will remember no more. So Job, you're cool. That's not what this is about. Job, it's not about your sin. It's about I'm testing you. I got a book to write, and I got to make some points here, okay, that people for years and years and years are going to need to know something about my character. I think I need to know something about suffering. It's going to do with your sin. He doesn't say that here now yet, okay? Thou puttest my feet also in the stocks. That's how you feel. It feels like I'm you know, under lock and key. And lookest narrowly unto all my path. The idea is I can't even do anything, but you're inspecting me. You're checking it out. You're scoping me out. You feel that way? He's not like that. His thoughts are for you are more than the sand by the seashore, but it's got to do with love. It's not got to do with I see what you're about to do. You're thinking of somebody else or something. That's not the Father God. He doesn't want you to get involved in sin. He loves you. It's not going to help your cause. It's going to be bad. But it's not like he's up there all the time. Oh, Lonnie, look what you're doing. Shame, shame. I caught you. You're bad. I hate you now. I'm going to rain on you. No. I have better things for you than that. I love you. I want to just rain blessing on you. I've got a good path for you to take. I know how to bless. You're looking narrowly on my path, and you set us a print upon the heels of my feet, and he, as a rotten thing, consumeth, as a garment that is moth-eaten. Again, he keeps, you know, interjecting with these colorful, I'm like a garment full of, you know, holes that a moth ate. That's how I feel. Okay, so we're done with Job for now. I was hoping to get through chapter 14 also, but it'll be there next time. Let's stand and pray, and Matt will come and send us out of here in singing. Lord, we've had some thoughts for you tonight, Lord, that you're a good God. You're a gracious Heavenly Father. You love us. We praise your holy name. You love to bless. You don't give us what we deserve. You bless abundantly, even though not only do we not deserve, but we ill deserve all the great blessings, the benefits you've bestowed on us. And Lord, if we're going through a situation like Job, help us to be like Job. You know, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Help us to trust you. I know it's cavalier. I'm going through nothing right now, no big serious developments in my life. And it's easy to say, you know, praise the Lord. But Lord, you're our God, whether we're going through tough stuff or we're going through, you know, smooth sailing. And when things go sideways, Lord, who do we have to turn to but you? So bless, Lord. Show us who you are. Reveal yourself to us. Our buddy Job said, we can't discover you. We can't find you out by research, Lord, but you can show yourself, you can reveal yourself to us. And we praise you, Lord, that you have through your word, through your divine Son. And help us to know you better and better all the time. Lord, the goal is to know you all the time, to know you more all the time. Help us to be like that and not turn back. All in, Lord, for the glory of our God. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.